Again,
the way it should be, sitting in the same room. Start off by apologizing for our last couple episodes. We're still trying to work through some technical difficulties. Unfortunately, with the way it's recorded, there's not much I can do once it's there.
Right.
Like, I can't take out buzzing sounds, hums, and lags. And luckily, after puzzling out the last one, I think I can figure it out. So future episodes
should be good.
Should be better. But this one's a throwback in that we're back with the microphone on the table and in the same room, which is the way we like it. That way we can crack open a beer and talk real.
And get our chemistry back.
So this is the Scary Dad Podcast, episode 124. It is March 11th, and today's going to be our re-record of our Texas Frightmare weekend part two. So this will be, I think we recorded this one twice already.
Yes.
So this will be the third take of part two.
And maybe we won't have to do a part three once we get through with this. We'll see how it goes.
So, Mr. Gomez.
First, the old business.
Okay, not a whole lot of old business today. Reading through all of the historic stuff, you know, outside of like wars and stuff that happened in World War II and everything, it was nothing truly horrific or interesting. So we go straight to birthdays. Happy birthday on this date in 1950 to, don't worry, be happy, Mr. Bobby McFerrin. It's a one-hit wonder, but that one hit keeps giving. It's still around. I mean, everybody knows the Don't Worry, Be Happy song.
That was a huge, huge song.
Let's see, 1952, Douglas Adams, the writer of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
1961, Elias Koteas. He hasn't been in much, but you would know him as the seminarian turned hardcore cop in the Christopher Walken movie. Was it... The Prophecy. That's one of those. That movie always bugged the hell out of me, dude. Because it's like those situations of people not acting the way that they would, right?
Right.
So, if you've never seen The Prophecy, you know, essentially it's there's a war in heaven. Christopher Walken plays the angel Gabriel, and he's turned against God, and he's trying to cause the end of the world, and there's a battle in heaven. And Elias Koteas is a cop who's investigating the murder of a guy who turns out to be a dead angel. And his backstory, Elias Koteas' backstory, is that he was a seminarian, and he had a crisis of faith. He could no longer believe that it was real. And so now he's presented with overwhelming evidence that it is real, and yet he continues to drink, smoke, and just kind of screw his way through the movie, which I would think, like, especially if you were coming from a seminarian's perspective, like, it's like, oh, this is all real? I think it's about time to stop the sinning.
Right.
You know? Especially if you're involved in a war in which you probably could very well be killed pretty quickly. I mean, he meets Satan himself.
Right.
So... It's not like in the realm of maybe. It's straight up like this is all happening, and you're still just like, well, I don't know. Somehow I doubt it.
Since you brought him up just now, I'm flipping around TV the other day, looking for something to watch, and I stumble upon this old 80s live action version of Puss in Boots, starring Christopher Walken as the title character.
Oh, wow.
No makeup or anything. It's just Christopher Walken as Puss.
As a cat.
Yes.
Interesting.
I didn't watch much of it. I saw Christopher Walken say, hey, look, it's cool. It's Christopher Walken. And then I changed the channel. But in 1988, he was in a live action version of
it. Made these boots. All right, this date in 1964. We just lost him recently. Happy birthday to Pantera drummer Vinnie Paul.
Yeah.
And in 1971, happy birthday to Johnny Knoxville.
I never liked the show Jackass, but I like Johnny Knoxville, if that makes any sense.
I like Jackass. I like the early versions of Jackass where they were doing like skate-type stunts and crazy. Like whenever they just started drinking gross things, you know, whenever Steve-O was just being dunked into shit, it was just like, okay, this is no longer entertaining.
It's like, just stupid.
It's, yeah,
it's guys doing stupid things.
It's one thing if you're like, you know, catapulting yourself into ice water or something. That's pretty extreme. That's pretty crazy. Skateboard stunts and bullfighting and stuff. But whenever it was just like, ooh, I'm drinking a shit cocktail. It's like, well, why? And there's no notable deaths on this date. So that is it for old business.
Okay.
We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
The one, the only, the classic Halloween. Halloween night. A small American town. 15 years ago. Michael?
I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil. I think he'll come back.
Exploring uncharted territory.
It's totally charted.
Just talk.
Sure.
The only reason she babysits is to have a...
Halloween.
Okay, come on out.
Your lack of old business will be made up for with our new business.
All right.
Mr. Gomez.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
I'm not sure if you're old enough to remember the Banana Splits. I used to watch the Banana Splits when I was a kid.
I don't know that I watched it, but I remember. I've heard of it.
A lot of people refer to the Banana Splits as being total nightmare fuel just because of the weird characters they had. One of them didn't make sense. I still don't know what kind of animal he was supposed to be, but you know, there was a dog. It was all usual stuff. Well, the Banana Splits are being reimagined as of right now in a horror film that will be released on the Sci-Fi Network. It will be called just straight up The Banana Splits. It's about a boy named Harley and his family, his brother, mother, and father. They attend a taping of the Banana Splits TV show, which is supposed to be a fun-filled birthday for the young man. And business as usual for the producer of the series, but things take an unexpected turn and the body count quickly rises.
Oh no.
Kit Harley, his mom, and their new pals escape safely. Yeah, so Banana Splits, if you get a chance, check out some old YouTube videos of the openings for Banana Splits, and it was weird. But I can remember as a kid just looking forward to watching the Banana Splits every time they come on TV.
Was it actually scary, or was it just weird?
It was just weird. It wasn't scary at the time, but like looking back on it, it was just kind of disturbing. Okay, this passing does not have to do with anything horror, but to me it was kind of a big deal. Nathaniel Taylor, who was known best as Rollo from the television series Sanford and Son, passed away at the age of 80. According to a friend of his, he suffered a heart attack and was hospitalized in February. And he died February 27th, 2019. He would have made 81 this month, as a matter of fact. But Sanford and Son was a show that I watched religiously as a child. Mm-hmm. I still watch it whenever I get a chance to, when I can see it. And Rollo was an awesome character on there. He was really, really cool.
The old Red Fox.
Yep. Okay. I'm sure you've seen the video by now. For February, when Howard Webb, 31 years old, decided to ride with a friend of his who was doing food delivery services for a company called Dinner Delivered. And apparently they were upset at the lack of a tip that was left through the credit card transaction for someone who had ordered some Mexican food. So while driving to deliver the food, Mr. Webb pulled out the salsa container, popped the lid, and was filmed by his female co-defendant, Shanice Booker, as he dipped his ball sack into the salsa.
I like to dip my balls in it.
Bloop. Put his testicles in the salsa, covered back up, and the food was delivered, and he was arrested shortly thereafter.
Now, there's got to be more to that story, because you don't get arrested for dipping your balls in it unless you posted it to like social media or something.
But he did. They did post it to Snapchat or something.
That's so stupid.
The video quickly went viral.
Watch me engage in felonious activity.
You can see that.
And
the
confess
video.
To it in real time.
He was arrested on a felony charge of adulteration of foods, liquids, or pharmaceuticals, and was locked up on $45,000 bail.
Oh.
So just doing it for Snapchat, he ended up with a felony. Okay, I don't know if you heard about this, but Adrienne Barbeau tweeted recently and let everyone know that she is going to be joining the cast of the new DC Universe of Swamp Thing series that is currently being filmed in North Carolina.
Nice.
Of course, as every Swamp Thing fan knows, in 82, Ms. Barbeau played the role of Alice Cable in Wes Craven's Swamp Thing. She recently tweeted, where's her tweet? Heading back to the swamps, DC Comics, Swamp Thing, James Wan, DC Universe, on March 7th. So it's pretty exciting to see that she'll be making a return to the franchise. So, the series, of course, is based on DC characters created by Len Wein and Bernie Wrightson, and being written by Ash vs. Evil Dead writer Mark Verheiden and It co-writer Gary Doberman. So I'm really excited about this series. It's supposed to be an R-rated series streaming on the DC Universe Network, and of course I'll probably have to finally break down and pick up.
If you're going to do a Swamp Thing properly, it can't really be PG. I mean, it can, but you'd have to be really careful with the way that you did it, because Swamp Thing's very dark.
Okay. It's an interesting one out of Minnesota. It has been pretty cold. Okay. So this lady in Jordan, Minnesota called the police and said, hey, I need you guys to check on the welfare of somebody. It's snowing out here and there's a guy standing up in his front yard holding onto a pillow and he won't go inside. She calls the cops. The cops show up. It ended up being a life-size cutout of the... Have you seen those commercials for the My Pillow guy that sells pillows online? It ended up being a life-size cutout of him, somebody had put in the front yard holding a pillow.
That's awesome.
Jordan Police Department said officers were called to check on the welfare of an adult male who was wearing no coat outside in the cold. Once officers arrived on the scene, they discovered a cardboard cutout that looked pretty realistic. Those cardboard cutouts could sure look real from a distance, and the caller certainly was not wanting to get too close, thinking, who is this deranged person standing outside in the cold hugging a pillow? Word of the humorous call even reached the CEO and founder of MyPillow himself, who tweeted out an article about it with a laughing emoji.
That's awesome.
I thought that was pretty cool. And let's go one more. Introducing yourself to 46-year-old Mark Anthony Jones. Mark Anthony Jones suffered an accidental self-inflicted gunshot injury while walking on a Thursday morning in Marion, Indiana. During an interview in emergency room Marion General Hospital, Jones said he was carrying a high .9mm handgun in his waistband when the weapon began to slip. He said he reached out to adjust the gun, which was not in a holster, and the firearm discharged with the bullet entering just above his penis and exiting his scrotum.
Oof.
To add insult to injury, he is going to be charged with not having a state handgun license and being a felon in possession of a weapon.
Well, there you
so
go.
So to add insult to injury.
And the fact that it was a high point. Have you ever seen those things?
No, I have not.
High point makes very low quality and low...
I figured that.
Low cost firearm. And if you you can tell. They're big and blocky and very unwieldy,
yep.
and somewhat heavy.
Look like a cheap gun.
They're very cheap guns, but so that's the kind of thing where it's like if you're putting it in the waistband of your pants, you're putting a lot of faith in that waistband because it's heavy. It's gonna slip. but yeah, so I had a little incident. To recount the story, I was like, man, I probably scared half the neighborhood. Totally didn't mean to. But a week or so ago, I was asleep on the couch. I was taking a nice Sunday couch nap. And I am awakened to my wife telling me, hey, you need to, there's a rabid raccoon across the street in the neighbor's yard. You need to go deal with it. So I get up thinking, I'm assuming that there is this rabid raccoon, you know, like threatening people or like charging or attacking. It's like there's children in the neighborhood. So not looking at what I'm actually already dressed in, which happened to be just like a pair of camo cargo pants and a black t-shirt, I look out the window and I see the animal in the yard. So I go and I grab my .22 rifle that actually has a scope on it. And I'm like, you know, because I know... So if I'm going to go outside, I'm going to be armed, right? I'm not going to just go outside and be like, here, kitty, kitty, to something that's obviously foaming at the mouth, sick. So I get out there, and I spot it through the scope, and I do not have a clear shot in any responsible way. I was like, I can't see its head. So I'm like, okay, if I shoot this thing, and it's not a kill shot like this, then it's going to be bleeding and spreading whatever disease it has all over the place,
right.
And probably run off somewhere and whatever. I was like, let me walk over here and see if I can check it from a different angle. There's no way that I can hit it and be assured that my shot would not over penetrate and maybe go through, like bounce off the driveway or go through into a car. So responsible that I am, I'm like, okay, this is untenable. All right, let me go ask my neighbor if he's got any ideas. So I just walk across the street, knock on the door. I'm standing there in camo pants and black t-shirt holding a rifle. And his little boy comes to the door. And I'm like, dude, is your dad home? Like this now just occurring to me like, oh crap. His dad wakes up from a nap. He comes, he looks, and it's like, and the little kid's grandfather's there. So it's like Brian and his dad both come to the door and they're both like. And I'm like, I know how this must look, but here's what's going on. Anyway. Ultimately, it was just sitting there, kind of just breathing heavily and looking sick. And we wanted animal control to come take it, test it, and figure it out. So we ended up throwing a recycling bucket over it and putting a cinder block on it and then, you know, calling animal control to come get it. So we're like, this is how responsible we're trying to be, right? Like, trap the specimen, contain the disease, you know, patient zero, let's lock it down, take it alive. So animal control comes over. Kills it, throws it in a bag, and tosses it at the end of the driveway. Wait. Thanks. Thanks.
Could have saved you guys the trouble.
Yeah, like, oh well. But
how did they kill it?
I don't know. I wasn't there. Well, like, they showed up like 4 or 5 hours later.
Because they don't carry guns. So did they stomp it?
Yeah, I don't know. My neighbor said they just killed it and put it in a bag.
Okay.
It was already sick. Maybe they did just hit it with something. I don't know.
Okay. That's crazy, man. My sister, she lives way out in the country. But she used to. And she lived in the middle of these sugarcane fields. And she had an issue where the skunk was decided it wanted to try to reside in their shop in the back. And was attacking their cats and everything. So, trying to be responsible, she went ahead, got a little critter trap. Trapped it and called a wildlife and fishery. Said, hey, I got this skunk that I need somebody to come pick up. They showed up at her house, released the skunk, and said, you don't have a license to trap. Don't do that again.
Oh, no.
So, she shot it. She went ahead and shot it later. Just because she was trying to do something right, but...
That's what you got to do, man. Yeah. Like, well, man, we had last year, we went on vacation for a weekend vacation, and rather than board the dog, we had like the neighbor girl come over and like feed her and let her out and stuff. We get a phone call. We're sitting in a cafe in New Orleans, and my wife gets a text. Like, I think there's a squirrel in the house. What? Anyway, squirrel had gotten in through our chimney and like got itself in the house.
It couldn't find its way out.
Crapped everywhere. Chewed off, you know, like the lips on the bottom of your windows, yeah. Like the finger holds so you can open and close your windows. Chewed one of those off of our window. Like, just wreaked havoc on everything. And so we call animal, you know, not animal control, we call an exterminator to come over and like...
Trap it or something.
Either trap it or whatever, but then also like... Because we had a grate on the... on the chimney, so animals wouldn't get in, but it had gotten pulled back. And it had been cold that week, so I guess the squirrel was just looking for warmness and followed it and got himself caught. This exterminator, I was asking him, like, oh, you know, the raccoons and stuff, we trap them, you take them away. He's like, dude, you kill them. He's like, you kill them. He's like, those things are mean. And he showed me his hand, and he had a cut from, like, the meat of his thumb all the way up almost to his elbow.
Jesus.
One of them, he's like, this one was supposed to be dead. Like, it was just knocked out.
Squirrels have big teeth.
Well, no, he was talking about the raccoon.
Oh, the raccoon. Oh, yeah.
Raccoon got him. I'm like, all right.
That's what I got.
All right. Well, let's take a break, and we will be back.
Kill me then, too.
Caleb Colton no longer belongs to our world.
We'll give him a week, see if we can call him one of us.
He belongs to hers.
But you have to learn to kill.
He belongs to theirs.
I don't want to kill.
He makes a kill tonight.
And they all belong to the night.
It's 3 hours short for a bus to get home. You help me out?
What are you on?
Believe me, I told you.
Don't think of it as killing.
Amen.
Amen. Don't think at all. It's just something that you do night after night. It's only ever a question of time.
You nervous? I would be too if I were you.
Near Dark.
Could be your boys falling in with control.
Check out time.
Yourself some time, son.
God damn, this is my family. Let him go.
Near Dark. Pray for daylight. The night has its price.
And here we are again.
Yep.
Okay. So we already did the Raimi brothers. We talked about Elvira.
Bruce Campbell.
We talked about Bruce Campbell and the Evil Dead guys. Did we mention Robert Englund?
No, we hadn't gotten to Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Big Nightmare on Elm Street reunion. A total of 12 former cast members, including the one and only Robert Englund, of course. Freddy Krueger himself is going to be there. But adding to that list is going to be Heather Langenkamp, Amanda Weiss, Ronnie Blakely, Lisa Wilcox, Danny Hassel, Brooke Bundy, Andres Jones, Toy Newkirk, Tuesday Night, Joanne Willett, and Leslie Dean. So if you want to go ahead and get your pile up on your Nightmare on Elm Street autographs and cast meetings, you definitely want to make it to Texas Frightmare Weekend.
Yeah. And looks like a lot of their photo ops and stuff are selling out.
It's selling out quick. A lot of their stuff is.
Like last year, I don't even think I really paid attention as far as, because I wasn't planning on getting, I didn't get a photo op, but just like the different signatures and stuff. But yeah, you're going to, if you want one, because remember our friend Jay, she sat in line for like 4 hours to get an autograph for Clive Barker. You were lucky in that you just got the front of the line.
I took a chance and went on Sunday morning.
But then again, you know, we had the 3-day super pass, you know, that allowed us to do that. If you're just going for one of the days,
plan accordingly.
Plan and stayed in that the Frightmare Facebook group where people are asking questions and discussing and stuff. There's a lot of logistics that you would probably, you know, join that group.
It's a great tool for somebody going to Texas Frightmare Weekend for sure. But yeah, I mean, just Robert Englund himself. If you've never met Robert Englund, it is an incredible experience. Mm-hmm. What I love about Robert Englund is he gives every fan a really good experience as far as, you know, he's willing to tell stories. He's very open to his fans. His line takes a while to get through because he gives everybody a good experience. So,
and that's that, you know, if you're impatient, you shouldn't probably deal with stuff like that. But same thing with like last year with the Jasons. Like they most of them had a story or two, especially Kane Hodder.
Kane is great with fans.
Ted White from Part 4, they were sitting there joshing back and forth with each other and, you know, stuff like that. So CJ Graham, who's on the other end, very friendly, talkative. So, you know, those guys that have the ones that tell the stories have long lines. You want to get there early.
And the lines take a while.
You're not gonna show up and just be able to pop through. It's a bunch.
Okay. Another big one that I'm very excited about, of course, is Mr. Lance Henriksen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited about him making it. Of course, Lance Henriksen, who I'm not gonna call him a character actor because he tends to he has starred in several movies, but mm-hmm. you know, normally he co-stars, but he takes over a scene. He's a very powerful, charismatic actor for sure. But Lance Henriksen will be there. He's been seen in Aliens, Terminator, Pumpkinhead, Near Dark, Dead Man, The Quick and the Dead, Millennium, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Dog Day Afternoon, and The Right Stuff. He, plus many, many, many more.
Near Dark?
Near Dark is the big one.
Like, man, somebody on Instagram posted a picture of a DVD of Near Dark, and she's like, she's like, I finally got it. I was like, dude, I'll buy that from you.
But yeah, Lance Henriksen is one that he's another one that likes to give a good experience to his fans. He's very open talking to people. He appreciates his fans for sure. He's an awesome dude. Also in the world of pottery, he does sell pottery as well. Ask him about his pottery.
He's got an Etsy store. I'm joking, but.
I think he changed the name because when I talked to him the last time, he was considering changing the name because he said he was getting he'd get looks at the bank every time he went to do banking stuff. But his pottery company was called Screaming Red Ass Pottery, named after the World War II fighter pilots of the Screaming Red Ass Regiment. And he said that he ended up having to just use initials on it because the bank always gave him dirty looks.
SRA.
Yeah.
How about this this Halloween reunion?
That's going to be a pretty cool one as well. Old Halloween and new Halloween.
Yes, that is super cool. Nick Castle, the original shape,
mm-hmm.
And then James Jude Courtney,
the new one,
the new shape. You've got the original Judith Myers is going to be there. So cool. She's just off living her life. No idea that anybody wants to meet her. They find her. That is so cool.
The first kill. First person that Michael Myers ever killed.
Mm-hmm.
Will be there in attendance. Then you got Nancy Loomis Keys and PJ Souls, of course, from the original Halloween.
PJ Souls is in a lot of stuff,
oh, yeah,
too.
Yeah.
She's
in Stripes. She was in Carrie, Rock and Roll High School, Devil's Rejects, The Possessed, and Halloween 2018. So, yeah, she's been around. She's definitely a scream queen.
Yes. Or should I say totally?
Speaking of scream queens, we also have Felisa Ross, who is going to be in attendance from Sleepaway Camp, Return to Sleepaway Camp, Perfect House, Death House, Satan's Playground, Caesar and Otto's Summer Camp Massacre, Camp Dread, Victor Crowley, Silent Night, Zombie Night, Slaughter Party, and Zombiegeddon. So yeah, she's a big screen queen as well. She will be in attendance too.
You've got D-Tom Mack from Lost Boys going to be doing a live version of Cry Little Sister.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because the Lost Boys will be up the road at, right. At the other convention. But he'll be a Frightmare keeping it real.
And, of course, making her convention debut, another screen queen who has been in a lot of pretty big movies is Kathleen Quinlan, who's been in Event Horizon, Hills Have Eyes, the remake from 2006, Warning Sign, Twilight Zone, the movie, and some non-horror movies, Horns, Apollo 13, The Doors, Breakdown, and American Graffiti. So she's an Academy Award nominee. That's a pretty big,
yeah,
pretty exciting one there. You know, I love Event Horizon. Hills Have Eyes is also one of my favorite movies. And,
yeah,
that's a good get.
That's definitely a good one. She's been a lot of stuff, too.
Like, oh, yeah.
She's one of those, again, kind of like, maybe not as popular as, but with like in the horror genre, but like Lance Hendrickson, when she's in something, she really makes it hers.
Right. Right. And of course, another reunion they'll be having is the big Reanimator reunion,
mm-hmm.
with Jeffrey Combs, Barbara Crampton, Bruce Abbott, and Kathleen Kinmont. And just Barbara Crampton by herself being there is a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Well, also, like, there's a lot of there's a lot of stuff that for H.P. Lovecraft, you know, there always is, the Cult of Cthulhu and stuff on the internet. It's like everybody's a, you know, big into H.P., but it seems like Reanimator is one of those that's really having itself a nice little day in the sun right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right now, there's a ongoing series of like Reanimator versus Vampirella. Like, that's a current series that's out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, she's gone up to Vampirella's gone against Ash recently.
Yeah.
Like, they have different stuff, but just to have kind of an ongoing series with the Reanimator, it's pretty crazy.
Well, speaking of a resurgence, they are also going to be having the one and only film critic, writer, and comic performer, Mr. Joe Bob Briggs, who has seen a huge resurgence as of late, thanks to Shudder.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I want to get to Shudder just for his show. I don't even necessarily care about the movies, just to watch his show and his commentary on them. It's like I've seen clips and stuff from YouTube, like promotional stuff. It's like almost like Mystery Science Theater, where he's just...
It's a lot like it. It's a lot like it. And of course, he's been in a couple of movies as well. Monster Vision, Casino, The Stand, Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2, and Great Balls of Fire. So, people are pretty excited about the Joe Bob Briggs get.
It is. I mean, you can't help but love the guy. But it is kind of crazy how he was a thing, then he just kind of like...
disappeared.
Know, just time went by.
And just Shudder came out, and all of a sudden,
he's back,
huge resurgence.
Like, boom.
Yeah, they had that big... marathon, Joe Bob Briggs marathon, and he just blew up again, man.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Another guy we'll be seeing, which was a recent announcement, is the Creeper himself from Jeepers Creepers 1, 2, and 3, Mr. Jonathan Breck.
Wow.
Will be there. which is pretty cool.
That's a big one for you, because you're a big
Jeepers Creepers fan, so that is definitely pretty damn awesome. Of course, did we talk about Tim Curry in the last one?
You know, if we didn't, we should anyway. I mean, if we already did, we should. Tim Curry's a big one.
Oh, yeah. He's just been in so... I can almost guarantee any fan of movies, not even horror movies, just fan of movies, you've seen something that Tim Curry was involved in at one time. Or,
Home Alone 2.
Right.
I mean, with Donald Trump.
Tim Curry is huge. If you want your chance to be able to meet him, come on down. He, of course, he won't be, because of his health reasons, he won't be signing autographs there at the show. You can drop off stuff at his table and it'll be mailed back to you. But Tim Curry will be in attendance. And he's just been in so many huge movies, man. It's like, where do you start?
Yeah. Well, I believe... Well, I know for a fact that his version of Pennywise is the first movie... Because me and my friends were on this, like, this horror kick. So we were watching all the Fridays and all the Nightmares and the Halloweens and all of that stuff. And I'm going to say probably with the exception of Halloween, you know, that's a whole different discussion. But that first time he morphs in the shower, where he's got his, you know, his teeth out.
Yeah.
And he just really comes alive. That movie kept me up.
It was a TV movie.
That movie
had that much.
That movie kept me up at night. Like, I went to bed and I couldn't sleep because the clown was going to eat me.
Right.
No lie.
He was terrifying. He was the original Pennywise, man.
And the funny thing about it, and what makes it so great, and I think a lot of, like, I've read a lot of stuff back and forth with the current It and the old one. The difference was that when he was the clown, like when he was just like the smiling clown, he was very clowny. He was very friendly and entertaining. He didn't.
He was like a birthday party clown.
He didn't seem to have that much menace until his eyes, you know,
like he got that look. Like something came from the back all the way up to the front.
Yeah, he'd go from a big smiling, like, and he'd be like, ah, and it's just like, oh my God, there's so much evil in there. And he just brought it.
Oh yeah.
I mean the and I love the new It, and Bill
Skarsgård did an excellent job.
But I didn't have any problem going to sleep that night.
But when you look at just
Tim Curry's kept me up on
the original Pennywise, what they worked with compared to what the new remake worked with as far as CGI and special effects and everything, Tim Curry brought it, dude. Mm-hmm. And you can't deny the fact that he's Pennywise, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not only that, Rocky Horror Picture Show, and of course, one of my favorite movies, which I may watch it tonight, I'm going to see, is Clue. I loved him in Clue.
I haven't seen that in so long. Such a...
I've got the DVD, and it's got like three different endings that you can go back and forth through to see how it plays out. But yeah, the Clue movie is awesome, for sure. Another one that I found interesting that I thought was awesome that she's going to be there is Meg Foster.
Mm-hmm.
From They Live, Masters of the Universe, and... Rob Zombie's the witch movie. Damn, I can't remember the name of it.
31 or not 31.
Witches of Salem.
Yeah, Lords of Salem.
Lords of Salem. Yeah, so she's going to be in attendance. I thought that was pretty cool because They Live is an incredible movie. It's one of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
And to have her there is pretty awesome.
And in Masters of the Universe, she was Eva Lynn, right?
Yes. Yeah.
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 I always liked Eva Lynn. Eva Lynn was always such an underrated character to me. Like in the cartoon and stuff, how she and Skeletor would just argue and stuff. Like, you go back and you look at the old He-Man and stuff, and like, yes, it was very character driven and it was designed to sell toys and stuff. But there's some really good like little in jokes in there with the bad guys bickering and stuff.
Right. Okay, we're not finished yet, man.
Mm-mm.
So you got plenty. Let's talk music a little bit. First and foremost, Meatloaf is going to be in attendance. Musician, actor.
His name was Robert Paulson.
Fight Club, Rocky Horror Picture Show, Wayne's World, plus Leap of Faith. He's been in so many movies as just kind of a co-star character, mm-hmm. actor, but as a musician, he's Meatloaf.
Yeah.
You know?
He'll do anything for love, but he won't do that. Like, that was such a big hit. Remember, like,
that was huge.
The big gothy, like, wind gossamer curtains and the wind blowing and like running around through the rain and stuff, and you're just like, this song makes no sense. But he brought it.
And adding to the music lineup, just icons of metal from the band Anthrax, Scott Ian and Charlie Benante.
Mm-hmm.
That is, they're iconic metal musicians. Absolutely. They're going to be at attendance at Texas Frightmare Weekend. You have your chance to go and meet Scott Ian, a groundbreaker when it comes to metal.
Dude, you mentioned Rob Zombie just now. The first time I ever saw White Zombie was at an Anthrax show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was White Zombie, it was Anthrax headlining with White Zombie and Quicksand. Remember Quicksand?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
And it was, dude, White Zombie was still, the album was the Los Exorcisto, but they were still coasting on Thunder Kiss 65. That was like their big hit. I mean, that's how early it was. Like, it was like 93.
Yeah, it was their breakout year.
You know, that whole record, I mean, it's kind of funny because whenever the second record came out, the Astro Creep, so that's the one with the More Human Than Human on it.
Yeah.
Their previous album, like front to back, it plays and sounds and reads just like a comic book. I mean, it's so cool. That the second one, I was a little disappointed because it had just so much weird noise for no reason. Whereas the first one had like samples and stuff. But yeah, I was not at the time. I didn't go to see White Zombie. I went to see Anthrax.
Right.
And White Zombie was oh yeah, those are those guys with that song. Anthrax brought it. Anthrax, I mean, Scott, right. When Scott Ian's stomping around, they're untouchable. Zombie was incredibly good and shockingly like entertaining for not really knowing who they were.
Right.
Anthrax though is they're transcendent. They're so far out there that it's just like,
that is so cool. You got to see that concert there, man. That's right up there with, I remember in ninth grade when Bon Jovi was on tour, Guns N' Roses opened for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guns N' Roses opened for Bon Jovi.
But you didn't know who GNR was, but by the time they left, you did.
You do. Yeah, you knew who they were. You knew who they were at the end of the night for sure. Another cool one that that's going to be there is Stan Shaw. I'm not sure if you remember who Stan Shaw is, but he played a part in Monster Squad. He was the stuttering boxer in Harlem Nights.
Okay.
And also, he's in Jeepers Creepers 3. But Stan Shaw will be making an appearance, which is pretty cool. He was the sheriff in Jeepers Creepers 3 that was out to try to get the creeper. That's a pretty cool get. Like I said, his part in Harlem Nights I remember so well from when I was young. It's pretty exciting to see him making it out there. From Silent Night, Deadly Night, Parts 1 and 2, we'll have Robert Brian Wilson. And from Part 2, what's his name? Eric Freeman. So both the Santa Killers will be in attendance. If I understand, they'll be doing photo ops in full Santa Claus gear.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool.
You've seen that Nika. I don't know if it's from 1 or 2. This is one really good Santa Claus Nika figure. From Silent Night and Deadly Night, where he's got the axe.
Yeah, I have seen it. I have. Now that you mentioned that, I do remember seeing it. Sure enough. Of course, Lee Majors will be in attendance. I think we may have talked about him last time, but he's worth a mention again. The original $6 Million Man and the Fall Guy from when I was a kid.
How cool would it be? I want to get that truck.
I know. To get him aside, because, man, I'm a stunt man. I just, as a kid, I remember watching that show every night it came on, so...
That's the thing about the 80s. It's like there's a lot of, especially with like Knight Rider, Dukes of Hazzard and stuff. It's like there's a lot of superpowers you could gain by just having a kick-ass car.
Right.
But that old brown and white...
pickup truck with the eagle on the hood. It's totally 80s, dude. Truck is so 80s. It's unreal, but the truck was the shit, man. It was jacked up and everything. And of course, the $6 Million Man, I still got that action figure upstairs. Mm-hmm. That was huge for me, man, when I was a kid. Loved that show. But yeah, Lee Majors. And of course, lately, he is Ash's dad from Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Yeah, so he's in there with the Evil Dead folks.
Yep. And that's what I got, man. Who else? Lyle Blackburn will be back, and again, the great cryptozoologist that has written about the Boggy Creek Monster and several others. He'll be in attendance, of course, signing books. It's going to be a tremendous show.
Get there early. Just get yourself a stack of cash and wait. I mean, but the thing is with Frightmare, they have it laid out in such a way that you get to enjoy it. You know, you're not going to spend. I mean, unless you're off into one of the side rooms where you're just stuck in a line or whatever. But if you know, like basically, they have it out to where if you're in a line, you're going to be
entertained.
You're going to have a slow stroll past some of the coolest vendors you'll ever see. You know,
and the other thing is, Texas Frightmare Weekend. Just the people are what makes it an experience. The attendees are incredible. You're not going to be bored in a line. You're going to have somebody you can talk to. Everybody shares a love for the same thing. It's a horror convention. Everybody's there because they love the same thing you do.
Some of the best there's some cosplay out there, and it's not like Harley Quinn and Deadpool cosplay. It's right. Like it's horror movie cosplay, and
it's movie quality.
Very much so movie quality. Remember, what were some of the highlights of last year?
American Werewolf in London, yes, which was pretty cool.
There was some really high quality Pennywises. Yep. The gender bent Pennywises were awesome. Yep. So the girls that were dressed as Pennywise were very cool.
There were several Hellboy costumes. There was tons of Jasons.
There was my favorite Jason was the 8-bit one.
That was very cool.
It was just, he shined like he does in the video game. Like he had a glow almost because the color of his outfit and mask and everything was spot on to the game.
Right.
You know.
And one of my favorites last year is definitely, it's one of the, you know, my kids are all into anime. There's a couple of animes that I enjoy. And one of them that I enjoy just because of the storyline itself is called Death Note. And the Ryu character from Death Note that was there, I mean, the dude was 9 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
It was, he did an amazing job with that cosplay. It was chilling to see. He had to take his wings off because his wings were a little bit too big. But even after he took his wings off, it was still it was movie quality, man. I've seen the live action movie. His costume was definitely ranked up there.
Yeah, they've got some really good stuff. And some gory stuff too. It's like, it's weird how you have, but like, remember the guy with the baby that had the baby was dressed as Chucky?
Yeah. Yeah. Little redhead child. Yes. Yes, I do remember that.
Sweet, sweet little baby with a little knife. He's just like.
So make your plans May 3rd through the 5th, first weekend of May at the Hyatt Regency DFW Airport in Dallas, Texas. You're not going to get a room, but you can get in.
Yeah.
As long as you can make it there, you can get in. And just the experience itself, it's everybody needs to do it at least once. Yes. And people fly in from everywhere. I've been watching the Facebook group, of course. There's people flying in from Ireland, all over the United States.
Yeah, somebody was talking about like they're coming in from New Zealand. What's cool to do in Dallas? And it's like, that is a long way.
Man. Oh, yeah.
Like, it's worth it.
But it's worth it. That's just absolutely. It. People know that the pilgrimage to Texas Frightmare Weekend is worth it for a lot of folks. It's like a huge reunion. Everybody's friendly. There's no fights. There's no arguments. It's a beautiful thing for horror fans.
It's awesome. Well, with that, I think we finally successfully got this one done.
I can send this off to Lloyd so he could check it out.
Rock and roll. Well, we'll do this one, and then we will be back next week with a new episode. So in between now and then, keep it scary.
Later. Thank you.